chapter 24, verses 44 through 53. This is the word of the Lord. And he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. Everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms is true." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. Stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany. Lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he departed from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually and perpetually blessing God. This is the word of the Lord. The Gospel of Luke begins and ends in the temple of the Lord. And so it is very much a story that concerns the worship of the Lord. But as we turn to the book of Acts, we will find that the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem was no longer to be understood as the dwelling place of God. As Stephen will say in Acts chapter 7, verse 48, "Yet the Most High does not dwell in houses made by hands. As the prophet says, 'Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hand make all these things?'" After the resurrection of Christ from the dead and his ascension into heaven, the temple of the Lord was no longer to be understood as the place of God's dwelling. It was no longer to be understood as the place of his rest. This is not to say that the apostles rejected the temple in Jerusalem. For here at the end of Luke's gospel, we find them continually in the temple, blessing God. And in the book of Acts, we will even find the apostle Paul paying a vow in the temple. But Luke would have us understand that the temple was no longer to be considered the place of God's presence. And Luke prepares us for this in various ways. Remember what we said at the beginning of Luke's gospel. As Zechariah the priest offered incense in the temple, the people were waiting for him outside. Why were they waiting for him? They were waiting for him that they might receive the benediction from him. which was how the service of the temple was ended, with the priest raising his hands and blessing the people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. But this blessing Zechariah was not able to get. And why was he not able to give it? He was not able to get it because he had been made silent and unable to speak. And why had he been made silent and unable to speak? He had been made silent because he did not believe the words which the angel had spoken to him. As the Gospel of Luke opens, we find the people of God unable to receive the blessing of God through the service of the temple. We find the people of God in need of a better priest. It was the indication that the old covenant was passing away. But the old covenant was coming to an end. So it is that at the end of Luke's gospel, as that long expected blessing is at last received, it does not come from the temple. It does not come from a priest of the old covenant. Instead, it comes from the hands of the great high priest of the new covenant as he ascends into heaven. And he is not only our priest. He is also our Lord. For the disciples did not only receive from him the blessing of the Lord, they also worshipped him as the Lord. The Gospel of Luke thus ends with worship. But not where we might expect it. We do not find that worship in the temple. We find that worship outside the temple. I do not mean that blessing God in the temple is not an act of worship. Surely it is. But here we are not speaking of worship in a general way. Here we are speaking of worship in that specific sense of worshiping God in his presence. Worshiping him in the place of his presence. And where do we find the apostles at the end of Luke's gospel worshiping in that way? Where do we find them worshiping in the presence of the Lord? It is outside of the temple. It is outside of the temple as they are gathered together in the presence of Christ as he ascends into the heavenly places. Surely their voices raised on earth, joined with the choirs of heaven, as the Lord to the sound of song and praise ascended into heaven and was seated upon upon his throne.
Surely it was the fulfillment of Psalm 22, verse 3. That you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. At the end of Luke's gospel, we do not find the Lord of the temple dwelling in the earthly temple. At the end of Luke's gospel, we find him ascended into heaven. That is the true place of his dwelling. That is the true place of his rest. The Lord at rest is the Lord in heaven. Yet we are not to conclude from this that there is no longer a place on earth where we may worship him in this way. That is, where we may worship him in his presence. Luke would have us understand that place is now the church. Not a building made with hands, but the gathering together of believers. The gathering together of his people. It is there that Christ is present with us. In the reading of the scriptures, in the breaking of bread, it is there that Christ is present as the Lord of the temple. This is why we will read in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, that they attended the temple together and that they broke bread in their homes. For it is in the church that we worship in the presence of the Lord. It is in the breaking of bread that we stand in the presence of the Lord. The church on earth is his temple on earth. It is there that we find his presence. But how can that be if he is in heaven? If the Lord is in heaven and we are on earth, how is it that he is present with us? How is it that we worship in his presence? Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. What is the promise of the Father? The promise of the Father is the gift of the Spirit. This too is why Christ ascends into heaven. He ascends into heaven that the Spirit might be given. Note what he says. I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. why we confess that the Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. Because the Spirit is given by the Father and the Son. I have sent the promise of my Father upon you. As the Son is begotten of the Father, so the Son is sent by the Father. And as the Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, so the Spirit is sent by the Father and the Son. Hear this well. The Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. For the Spirit is given by the Father and the Son. Why is this important? It is important because the Spirit that is sent is the Spirit of the Son. It is the Spirit of Christ. How is it that Christ ascended into heaven, is still present with us on earth? He is present by the power of his Spirit. The Spirit that has now been poured out upon the church is his Spirit. That Spirit that now rests upon the congregation is his Spirit. He is present by his Spirit. This is one of the key differences between life under the old covenant and life under the new covenant. This is one of the key differences between life as it was at the beginning of Luke's gospel and life as it is at the end of Luke's gospel. We acknowledge that both the Old Covenant and the New Covenant belong to one covenant of grace. We acknowledge that the people of old were saved, as we are, by grace, through faith in Christ. They through faith in the Christ to come, and we through faith in the Christ who has come. And as it is with us, so it was with them. The faith was not of themselves. It was the gift of God. It was not their own work. It was the work of the Spirit in their hearts. It is not that the Spirit was absent from the Old Covenant, or from life under the Old Covenant. Under the Old Covenant, the dwelling place of God among his people was the temple. That was the place of his presence in the midst of his people. And to worship in his presence required that they worship at the temple. But now it is not so. Now it is not so. For Christ has ascended into heaven. And from that place he has sent the promise of his Father. In the new covenant, the Spirit rests upon the church of Christ in a way that he did not rest upon the people. people of God under the old covenant.
The glory cloud that rested upon the temple rests now upon the church. By the Spirit, Christ is present in our midst. By the Spirit, the Lord is present in our midst. He is present by the Spirit in the reading of the Scriptures. He is present by the Spirit in the breaking of the bread. So that in the reading of the Scriptures, we hear His voice. In the breaking of the bread, we touch His body. Where the Spirit Christ is with us on earth, by the Spirit, we are with Him in heaven. Under the new covenant, we worship in the true temple. Under the new covenant, we worship in the temple made without hands. By the Spirit, we worship in the heavenly places, in the heavenly Jerusalem, where Christ has gone on our behalf. Consider then what we are saying. We are not bound to a particular place if we would worship in the presence of the Lord. We worship not on this mountain, or on that mountain, but in spirit and truth. We are not bound to a particular place if we would worship in the presence of the Lord. But we are bound to a particular place. We are bound to the church. If you would worship in the presence of the Lord, you are to gather with the church. We find His presence there in a way that we cannot find on our own, by ourselves, in isolation from one another. Is this not why He says, where two or three are gathered in My name, there am I among them? You cannot have that on your own. You cannot have on your own what you find in the church. You cannot find on your own what must be found in the assembly. present to us here in a way that he is not elsewhere. It is here, gathered together, that we enter into his presence. It is here, gathered together, that we come before his throne. It is here, gathered together, that he lifts up his hands and blesses us. It is here, gathered together, that he is seated upon our praise. How then may you summarize the Christian life? The summary of the Christian life is not me and my Bible. The summary of the Christian life is the body of Christ. For our life is in him. One with his body, bone of his bones, and flesh of his flesh. The body of Christ is the pattern of our life. The body of Christ is our life. As he suffered in the body, so must we. And as he was raised in the body, so shall we be. We are one with him. We are his. And he is ours. Our bodies are his. And his body is ours. There is no Christian life without the body of Christ. There is no life outside his body. If we would worship him as we ought, we must be gathered to the church. For the church is his body. It is there. It is here that we worship in his presence. The Gospel of Luke ends with worship, and so must we. The Gospel of Luke ends in the temple, and so must we. Let us then be in the temple continually. Let us gather together with the great joy of the ascended Lord. Let him be enthroned upon your praise.